Hey, Pep Pros! You won't believe what we've got for you today. This episode is brought to you by NPIC, the brains behind N-Bone. They've just dropped something big, and it's called Flosta.
Oh yeah, Flostas are the bomb, Carly. Picture this, it's got super cool floss-like structure that's all about busting plaque and tartar on your dog's teeth. Plus, it's got natural herbs to freshen their breath.
And let's not forget the best part, no artificial stuff in there. It's all about clean, natural goodness.
And get this, NPIC is right in my backyard in Plano, Texas. I actually got to see Flostas being made in the manufacturing facility on a recent tour, and I tell you what, it was impressive.
So, Pep Pro, if you're heading to Global Pet Expo, make sure to swing by NPIC's booth number 1650. You've got to see Flostas in person, or just hop online and visit NPICPet.com to learn more.
Your pups will thank you for it.
Attention, independent pet pros. Let me introduce you to the Pet Shop Girls, presented by Pet Product News.
Hey everybody, I'm Sherry.
And I'm Carly.
And welcome to the Pet Shop Girls podcast. We have an amazing guest today. We've been trying to get her on since the beginning. Krista Fox, the Holistic Vet Tech, is a seasoned veterinary technician who started her career because of her beloved pug's health issues. She's worked in different types of vet practices, learning from top experts in the field.
She's worn many hats, from making and selling raw pet food to advising on pet health and nutrition. With her deep knowledge of both veterinary medicine and the pet health industry, Krista can assist almost anyone with their pet's health.
Hey, Krista, welcome to the Pet Shop Girls podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
And we are very happy to have you because every single time I talk to anybody about Krista, I refer to her as the supplement guru. Because in your store, your supplement wall is as big as my food wall.
It's like a library.
Yeah.
No, I find it amazing. I personally struggle with supplements, the supplement department in my store. So to see almost an entire store made of supplements is impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely went out on a limb when I had the idea for what I was going to do with my store. And took a few years to get really people to understand what I was doing and all of my standards and stuff, but it's been wonderful and we get tons of word of mouth and we get to do what we do best, which is help people pick out the right supplements when there's about a million out there and 99.9 of them are total junk.
So on that note, my big question is, how can a retailer evaluate the quality of a supplement line? What questions should they ask and look for?
So I think the first thing to look for is to not focus on what the active ingredients are and actually immediately look at the inactive ingredients, because that is the first thing I look for that's going to make it or break it from the start, is those inactive ingredients. Everything might look nice, but especially when they make the inactive ingredients really tiny and on the bottom and like a weird place. Usually that's a red flag, but looking at that should definitely be the first thing in terms of looking for junk, sugars, flours, vague descriptions like just glycerin. That can be from almost anywhere. It's stuff that is counterintuitive for the supplement itself. I see a lot of joint supplements. They're like, oh, I'm giving this joint chew. And I look at what's in there and there's so many things to make the chew chewy that are actually completely counterintuitive to the anti-inflammatory properties we're trying to get out of a joint supplement. So that's the first thing. Then obviously looking at the active ingredients, but I think what most people have no idea of when it comes to active ingredients is the therapeutic level that is required to actually see results from those ingredients. A lot of these companies will put all the fancy words that they want. It's got glucosamine and chondroitin and MSM and hyaluronic acid. Does it have them in therapeutic amounts? Because if it doesn't, it's not going to help your pet. So that's really important. And that is something I have in my future plans, is to make a supplement master course. I'm in the process of making a pretty massive spreadsheet of all of the supplements that are in the dog world and their therapeutic dosages, what they're used for. because there are things that people don't think about, like glucosamine is actually really critical in urinary supplements, things like that. So I'm working on that to help other retailers, because getting the knowledge level that I've gotten took a long time and a lot of devotion and experience with that, that I just don't think all retailers have the time for. So that's something I'm going to try to do. But the other issues are sourcing, where these ingredients are coming from. A lot of people are shady about that and don't want to tell you how they process those ingredients, what techniques they're using. Like with CBD, are they using solvents or are they using CO2? That's important to ask. Mushrooms, that's a really important to ask, how they're processing them and who's coming up with the formula itself and how they came up with that formula, why they think those ingredients are necessary, because sometimes there is stuff in there that if people don't do their homework, you can't just combine all ingredients and say that they're safe. So it's important to know that someone who was in charge of formulating them actually knows what the heck they're doing. And then lastly, I would say having some sort of analysis or testing of those ingredients is really important. But definitely the ingredients themselves are the first things you should be looking at, and then scaling back from there and asking all the background questions.
And it's interesting that you say that too, because we have a supplier reach out to us who went in a completely different way of what they normally were doing. And they came out with a pumpkin supplement and a mushroom supplement and I don't know, two or three other ones. And they were like hammering on us to get them in our store. And so I started asking questions, and I don't have anywhere near the knowledge that you do. And they couldn't answer the questions. And I'm like, yep, you're not coming in my store. If you can't answer my questions about supplements, then yeah, I don't trust the supplement,
that's
right?
Good, like, that's a good point. Yeah.
That's the thing. There's so much marketing out there. And in my opinion, the brands that are pushy are usually the ones where I'm like, nope, I'm good. Because every one of them, I look up their stuff and then they'll send their 15 follow-up emails bugging me. And I have to finally be like, look, I'm going to break this down. This is the standards and you don't meet them.
Yep.
I had that with a CBD company that would not leave me alone, kept stalking my social media. And finally, I was like, look, this is why I'm not going to carry your product. And then they wanted me to answer like secondary questions. What are your standards? And I'm like, you know what? If you don't know what my standards are, it's pretty clear from my website and everything that I do what my standards are. So if you can't get that, then yeah, kick rocks.
Yeah. I guess too, like it makes sense what you're saying, because when we all look at food to bring into our store and we want to carry high quality food, we're looking at the ingredients and we're looking for those fillers and those non-essential crappy ingredients that you're like, this is the reason I wouldn't carry this food. It makes sense. It would apply to supplements as well. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of the questions and just the mindset behind it is very similar. Zesty Paws came in my store and tried to get me to carry their stuff, touting their reviews and how many people use it. I'm like, that's not what's important to me. You can fluff up stuff all you want, but at the end of the day, the product itself is what's important. And you can't tell me that these ingredients are helpful. And the same goes with pet food. Just because it sells well doesn't mean it's a good product.
Yep. Okay. How would a retailer know that they're recommending the right supplement for the right health issue? Obviously, we've learned now you can't just trust the bottle. And sometimes a health issue such as dandruff can be more indicative of a bigger problem. So as a retailer, how do we know and have that confidence that we're recommending the correct supplement for the correct ailment?
That's tricky. I don't think you can always be sure that you're doing exactly what's going to work. And I think talking to the customer about that was important, explaining to them, we'll try this. And if this doesn't work, this is what we're going to move on to. But I think what's really important is to start with food, because if you do not start with food, the supplements are just not going to go as far as they need to. And you're going to have recurrence of issues, like people who want yeast supplements that are feeding kibble. You can use this, but the problem's going to come right back. So food is always the most important thing. If you can't get people to budge on food, like you really can't and you really tried, then sure, then we can go on to food supplements. And by that, things like fish oil, I consider like powdered mushroom to be a food supplement, various digestive supplements, things like that, that are more food-like versus going straight to, say, astragalus root for a condition where if owners have never dealt with this and you really want to make sure you're recommending the right thing, it's important to understand that you got to start at a basic level and not overcomplicate things. And I think what's probably the toughest and where I guess my store excels is we understand what the conventionally prescribed medications are and what they do. Because if someone has had a result with a very conventional medicine, whatever, something from the vet, and that's the kind of result they want, but they want a more natural alternative, it's important for people to understand what works like the conventional stuff, but is safer, right? So that's also important because then you can make a better choice. But asking questions is really how you're going to make the right decision. Like you said, dandruff, for example, what are they feeding? Are they feeding a moisture devoid kibble that's really crappy? Is that what we need to work on? Or are they doing all the right things? Because if they're doing all the right things, then there's other questions to ask. So, for example, my dog, Bruce, I feed him what I believe is all the right things and give him all the right supplements. And there was at one point he had a massive case of dandruff. Like when you pet him, it just looked like it was snowing. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And so this is Bruce just teaches me everything. But I learned that dogs actually, when they're going through detox or die off, can deal with a massive amount of dandruff because that's the outermost organ. And to get rid of all that was accumulating, that has to shed. So sometimes something very simple like dandruff can actually be a more complex issue or something that warrants a better explanation than I think you just need more omegas and more moisture in the diet because some people are already doing that. So that's a good way, again, just asking more questions to really nail down on your little algorithm in your head what this could be and what the right remedy for it would be.
So yeah. You mentioned astragalus root, which I actually just started taking myself, and I'm just learning about traditional Chinese medicine. Is any of your knowledge and what you recommend based in TCM?
Absolutely. So I was actually going to mention that when it comes to fish oil. So certain fish oils have warmer energetics to them than others. Four Leaf Rover has a product called Safe-Sea, and it's a great product, but it's quite warming. So if you have a dog whose skin is on fire and they have some like really hot type of allergy issues, I'm not going to be so on top of let's recommend that. I'm going to recommend something that's a little bit more cooling, like Nordic Naturals type of fish oil. Those are more cooling fish. So yes, absolutely. Taking TCVM into account can help you make a way better decision. Absolutely. One that you'll see a lot more results with. My hero, Rita Hogan, always talks about this. Dogs are individuals, and how she practices herbalism is very much based on that unique energetic compilation of each dog and how that factors into whether an herb is going to work. Because just because this said herb is good for kidney health, depending on the dog's energetics, that herb might not be the best choice. There might be a lesser known herb that's really great for a dog that's very cold with kidney issues. So yeah, absolutely. Energetics is a key component, and understanding it, I think, can really up your game quite a bit in terms of helping people pick out better supplement choices.
I was going to say, you had said that your team understands the conventional medicine that is being recommended, which allows them to then be able to also come and recommend a more natural option.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for folks to know, and I think this is right, all of your team are vet techs as well, yeah?
Correct. Everyone on my team is I have to say veterinary professional now, because I do have one girl that was a veterinary receptionist but was starting to get more knowledge. So I took her on and trained her, and she gets it because she still understands the protocols and the basics. But regardless, at all times, there is always at least one vet tech on staff. So all but one of my staff is our veterinary technicians, either currently or in the past.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think that's
yeah. Yeah, I've been very lucky, but that's, people are like, why do you still do all these other jobs when you have your store? That's a huge reason why, is because I meet new people, and I work at is very graceful about me kind of poaching their employees. But when you're a vet tech for long enough, the emotional burnout's pretty bad. And so my store, fortunately, we deal with mostly happy dogs that at least come in. I do consults for severe stuff that's sad, and we do see dogs that are having disease conditions, but it's much less emotionally stressful on them working at my store, where they still get to spew all their knowledge and talk about all this stuff, but do it in a much less stressful atmosphere. So I've been really grateful to find the girls I have, and my staff is, I am so grateful. They're just like, they all work wonderful. There's no gossip. There's no drama. They all love working with one another. We're all just a big group of friends. But yeah, it's not to digress, but yes, my staff is vet techs.
Your training must be extensive, but by getting vet techs that may curb the learning curve there. So what kind of training do you implement?
I don't want to ruin all my secrets. So I do encourage all of them, and I give them incentive to take courses, whatever course they want, as long as I'm like, this isn't BS. Whether they want to do Dogs Naturally courses, Rita Hogan's course, Dr. Connor Brady's course, Dr. Judy Morgan's courses, Ruth Roberts' courses, all of those I will pay for and incentivize them. Usually I increase their employee discount by a couple percent for every certificate they get. And I also quiz all of my staff on a weekly basis on various disease conditions, new drugs on the market, questions about, I want to make sure that they know every brand inside and out. So I do constant training. I never stop training my staff. And they absolutely love it because they learn from each other. They think they know about something, but once they have the chance to really dive deep and research it, it helps them explain things to our customers and connect the dots, because that's what it's all about. With supplements, I think where things get lost is the titles of supplements or the labels put them into a corner, where there are supplements that are good for multiple things despite what might be on the bottle. So with my staff, they're able to be like, okay, glucosamine. We know what glucosamine does for the body and which different ways it can be used. So, you know, if they got a cat with urinary issues, they'll understand that we need to recommend a joint support, but we're doing this more for bladder health. So having that knowledge really just in the end helps you connect the dots. Brand training is one thing, but brands want to promote their brand. They're not objective. All my staff does the brand training through retail.pet, in-store training and all that. But I'm not so much about just one brand. I want them to be able to sift through all of the brands we have and make the right choice based on the pet.
Okay, so Krista, what would you say is a good variety of supplement types to ensure a retailer always carries?
And so,
remember, they cannot have the entire wall of supplements that you do.
No, and I honestly wouldn't expect most stores to do that. You can just send your clients to me. So I would say the first type of supplement that I would have would be omegas, because I'm pretty positive that everyone's deficient in omegas. I tested myself and my husband and all of our dogs after Rodney and Karen did their podcast a while ago about omegas, because I was really curious. And I take a ton of omegas. I take 4 grams a day, and I was the only one who was sufficient. All three of my dogs and my husband were deficient. And so that really just solidified the fact that we are all so omega-3 deficient. Foods don't really have a requirement for how much is supposed to be in there. So it's all well and good that they put some fish oil in there or whatever, but it's generally not enough, again, like that therapeutic value thing. So omegas are super important because they're just so critical in so many different body functions, and they're just going to help a lot of baseline things not happen or get better. So definitely go with good quality omegas. I personally stay away from large fish like salmon, cod, and pollock. I don't like large fish. They accumulate more toxins. They're just more risky to deal with. I tend to not really recommend plant-based omegas very much, because dogs really can't break them down and convert them properly to get that therapeutic amount. I'm, if anything, only a fan of algae oil, like Potency.
What about krill oil?
Oh, I love krill. Krill is actually my absolute favorite. It's what I recommend the most. It's the most vial available. It crosses the blood-brain barrier. It packs way more of a punch, in my opinion, and you don't need to use as much, which is great. Omegas for sure. Then, of course, having gut stuff is always key, because you're always going to have a customer that their dog got into something. They're just having garbage gut, acute diarrhea. So having things like Dr. Harvey's Run Be Done, Rogue Pet Science Pumpkin Pro is a great all-in-one supplement with great sourcing. Probiotics, stuff for acute digestive issues, I would keep on hand. And again, be mindful of those inactive ingredients, because a lot of those gut supplements have a bunch of sugary crap in them that is only going to further inflame the gut, and you're just not going to see as good of a result. And then I think, honestly, I think the most common ailment I get is anxiety. So I have some calming stuff on hand. Mm-hmm. And not just CBD. Yes, mm-hmm. CBD is great, and that is by far and away my top-selling supplement, but some people can't deal with that price tag and don't feel comfortable with it or whatever. So having good, effective calming products on hand is key for sure. And there are some ones out there, I'm not going to name names, but they're full of sugar. When people are like, oh my God, these fly off the shelf. I ate one and I was like, this tastes good to me. This is a really scary thing that this is just all sugar with some like L-theanine and some chamomile. You're not, you can't tell me those things work. They don't. Their dogs just are think they're delicious. So yeah, calming stuff, gut stuff, omegas would be where I'd start. And then once you get your knowledge base solidified, your customers start to trust that knowledge, you can expand out from there and see what works. But don't be like me when I first opened my store and ordered 5 of everything and have 4 of them expire because people don't get it yet. So if you're just starting out with supplements, take it slow. Expired supplements are painful. Very painful. I can't tell you what I've lost over the years in expired supplements, but just go slow for sure.
And we will all learn far more about supplements when your masterclass comes out. I expect that by the end of the month.
I'm ready for it now. I need it.
I won't sleep. It's fine.
Yeah.
All right. What is a big pitfall with pet owners when it comes to supplementation?
I'd say probably other than just buying crap like and not seeing results and then being soured by it all, I would say that a lot of pet owners do too much at once and they don't track and they don't pay attention to what's working and what isn't, and they just keep piling on and they have no idea what's actually working. So I think that's the biggest pitfall is people go to a brand and then they're like, oh, we'll try this one too. Ooh, this is a good compliment. And then they've ended up buying 4 supplements for one concern and they don't really know what's what. I made that mistake with Dr. Tobias's line of supplements, which I'm not bashing. They're amazing. But I did all of them at once. I was like, there's 50 ingredients between all of these. How the heck am I supposed to know what's working and what's not?
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to fall in that money trap of just buying and buying because you have this, that, and the other thing and micromanaging. So if you're going to do a supplement, do one at a time and track it for sure. I think that's the biggest issue. And then I'd say poor quality, weak supplements, basing their judgment on packaging or reviews on Amazon that are all bought and paid for, that kind of stuff. Though there's just so much marketing and junk in there. So trying to sort through that can be really tough.
I like that you're talking about tracking too, because I literally just in the past couple months created a natural dog health journal that I sell in store, but also sell on Amazon.
Oh, and that's cool.
So it basically allows the pet, because what I kept seeing in my store is pet parents coming in saying, oh, you know, my dog, he's throwing up. He's, you know, he's not eating. He has diarrhea. Okay. When did he start throwing up? Tuesday. No.
Yeah.
They have no idea. Right. And so for years I've been like, we need a way to track this. So I created this journal. But same idea, it allows the pet parent daily to go, this is what happened. And because I've gone through my own little issues with Zayner, where I know my head is not in the game because I'm worried about him.
Yeah,
I tried to make this journal very as easy just to like check off the boxes that appetite is normal, water is normal, exercise is normal, or which not. And then there's room for notes and everything, but that would definitely allow you to track those results to see that one supplement is either, how quickly would you say a supplement would kick in?
So my rule of thumb, which I inherited from Rita, was basically whatever you do it for 3 days, good or bad, just keep doing it. And then after the 3 days, you can evaluate. And then if you think that it's good, give it another week before you go adding anything else. Let the body adjust to it. Some of them take longer to kick in, though. So that's a tricky question. Like melatonin, for example, if you're using melatonin for an adrenal disorder like Cushing's, it's going to take a couple months for you to see consistent good results. So some things do take time, but it really does depend, because like CBD is a good example. Some dogs respond really quick. Usually they're younger dogs, whereas older dogs I usually tell people, give it at least 5 to 7 days of consistent usage before you go telling me that it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I had a lady tell me that the CBD didn't work. And she, I even brought in the bottle, and she plops the bottle on the counter and I can clearly see that one dose was given. And I'm like, you're going to tell me you gave this for a week and a half? Because that's what she told me. And she looked at me and she knew I caught her. And I'm like, I'm happy to take this back, but don't lie to me. And so I told her, I'm like, you have to use this consistently to see results. She took it back home because I told her, look, I'm not fighting you on it. You want to bring it back, I'll still take it back, but give it another week. Did it come back in a week? No, it didn't come back in a week because she used it and it worked. And then she came back in a month and bought another bottle. So you definitely got to go over that with customers. That is every bottle of CBD I sell, I feel like I'm just like, because I got to get all these things out so people don't go, it didn't work. But to give something some time, like this is natural stuff. This is the problem of our society. We're so used to allopathic medicine where it's like you take something and within 30 minutes it works. Yes. That's not how plant medicine and natural medicine works. It's working with the body. It's not just overriding processes in the body. Mm-hmm. That works a lot quicker. It also has a lot more side effects. So you got to get that through to people if they're not like super, you know, holistically minded. Just give it some time, let your body, their body adjust, and then make your judgment after that. So I'd say anywhere from 3 to 7 days before you really go, this does nothing.
That's what I was thinking based on. And I made that same mistake. When I first opened, I knew none of the things. And I figured Zahner has appointed himself as the head of security in my store. So when you walk in, he's got to come yell at you. And I thought, give him CBD. But I gave him CBD for 2 days. I'm like, well, that did nothing. And so then I'm like, obviously it doesn't work for him, right? It wasn't that it didn't work for him. I gave it to him for 2 days. And I was expecting, as you said, immediate results. And now I know better. And I tell our customers every time when customers buy CBD, I'm like, you're not going to see any difference for a good 7 days. Like, you got to get it, let it get in and start working with the body. So
Yeah. The only exception is very young animals. CBD will kick in really nicely because they don't have a bunch of issues clogging up their endocannabinoid system and clogging up those lines. So yeah, people just have to be a little bit more patient if they're going to go the natural route, which sometimes sucks, but there are amazing things that do work right away. Like Dr. Arby's runs be done. That stuff works kick ass right away, but it just depends on the issue.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to circle back around to the quality of supplements again. I've heard conflicting information about NASC certification. Is that something that we should look at as retailers as a sign of a good line, or does it matter?
So it is not something I look at personally, but it's not to say that it doesn't have a usefulness. It does. I appreciate what NASC does. However, they're pay to play. And that brings a big conflict of interest into what they say is good, what they say is bad.
Tell our audience real quick what NASC stands for.
National Animal Supplement Council.
Awesome. Hey, some people.
I was like, what? Oh my God.
I had no idea.
National Animal Supplement Council. They basically, they're 20 years old. Bill Bookout is the guy that kind of heads out NASC. When it comes to certain things he's said before, there are things I adamantly disagree with, like THC being toxic for dogs. The other issue with NASC, in my opinion, is that they don't test for potency or purity. Yeah, they test for safety, and that's important to make sure what's in the bottle is what they say is in the bottle. But there are companies that have NASC certification, Mushroom Matrix, for example, that make a product that's not effective because Mushroom Matrix uses ground up raw mushrooms. They don't do any extraction techniques, and they'll yada yada about it on their website, why they don't do it and why they think their product's better. But I can tell you firsthand, I used to carry the products and saw absolutely no results from them. Actually, I saw more ill effects than anything because it's a mycelium based product that basically rancidizes as soon as you open the jar or the bag. So that's an example of someone, they're NASC certified. That's great. But the product still isn't doing what it's supposed to. So there are mixed opinions when it comes to NASC. Like I said, I don't think what they're doing is bad by any means. I think they are helping a completely unregulated industry, absolutely. But the other issue is they put like the necessary FDA warnings on there. A lot of those FDA warnings scare the crap out of consumers unnecessarily. And that's the whole point of the FDA. The FDA doesn't like supplements. Look at Amber Naturals, great brand that's had to change the names of their supplements so many times because the FDA says, oh, you can't make that claim. You can't say this. You can't put this on the label because they don't want you competing with pharmaceuticals. And that's the sad truth of it all. with the FDA, it's great that we have the FDA. It's better than nothing. But they're still a very corrupt organization that I don't really put my trust or merit in, especially what's happened in the past few years with medications and things like that. NASC, in my opinion, is not necessary. I have some of the best supplements, I believe, in the country in my store that don't have NASC certification and work amazingly. So it depends on your mindset. If you like all those fancy labels and essentially a good housekeeping seal of approval on your product, then great. But I think if you know how to vet a company, you don't need NASC to help you.
Preach it, sister. Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Okay.
I'm wondering, as a follow-up to that, what would you say is those red flags or a red flag to watch out for when you're choosing a supplement line? And we've touched on some of it, right? If they can't answer questions as simple as mine, they're never going to pass your test. Would you suggest, I love the idea of creating that kind of, here are our standards for bringing supplements into our store. And I guess the biggest red flag would be that if they don't meet or exceed those standards, they're not coming
in. I think that's, unfortunately, just from what I've seen being in this industry, is a lot of people don't set those standards from the beginning. So you end up like going back and forth and this is okay. So definitely you got to have those standards in place if you're going to make the decisions like I do. I would say the red flags would be obvious things like any sort of flour, with the exception of a seed flour, like buckwheat flour or coconut flour. I don't have an issue with those, but they are still a filler. Corn, dyes of any sort, beet for coloring would be fine, or spirulina for coloring, that would be fine. But any weird dye, any evidence of a strange preservative, any type of sugar, and there's about 50 of them that they'll put on the label. Obvious things like molasses and cane sugar and corn syrup, those things are immediate no's. Indiscriminate types of glycerin, for sure. Glycerin is a tough one because I don't allow glycerin in any of my food or treat products, but it is in my supplements. And that's because it is a necessary medium for supplements. It's a carrier that works really well, especially for dogs that have metabolic issues like diabetes. It doesn't raise their blood sugar, so it's nice and it makes things palatable. But you have to make sure, again, where that company is sourcing their glycerin from. MycoDog, for example, I know uses organic coconut glycerin. It's actually the main reason why the product is so expensive, is because the expense of that ingredient is incredible. But if you meet a company that does things the right way, that's what's going to be in there. They're going to tell you what is in there. What else? Maltodextrin is overkill in a lot of supplements, and it's in a lot of stuff. I hate that it's in a lot of stuff. I do admittedly have some products with a very small amount in it. But if you're seeing it pretty high up on a label, I'd steer clear of it. And then indiscriminate fish oil, and not without any type of fish. A lot of that in supplements, a lot in the chews especially. I'm not a fan of that. Also not really a fan.
It needs to be a named fish oil? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Yeah. So it needs to say salmon oil, which not a fan of that, but anchovy, herring, mackerel, sardine, actually saying what kind of fish oil is in it. The only exception would be them putting like an asterisk and then explaining that they use a variety of fish oils depending on their sourcing and their batch. That would be an exception to that rule. But if there's not a clear list somewhere that's public and easy to access of their ingredients, where they're sourced, just being transparent about where they're getting all of their foundational ingredients, that's important. No third-party testing being done whatsoever, that's pretty concerning. There are various exceptions to that rule depending on who you talk to in the company and how well the brand. And then whether or not they offer you, the retailer, a return policy. That has been something that I have just dropped brands, because if you're not going to cooperate with me, but you're going to go and give your customers who buy from you direct a 30-day money-back guarantee, but you won't give me, the retailer, the same courtesy, that's ridiculous. That totally. Just totally pisses me off, and it's not going to help me sell your brand. If I have to pay asinine amounts of shipping, and that part's painful. The shipping part is painful. I'll say that. Look at all those things. I know it's a laundry list, but that's the problem, is there's just so much crap out there. You have to go through all of these things, and it's second nature to me because it's all I do, but make yourself a list. It's not that hard to just ask these brands these questions. I have templates for all the questions I ask food brands, supplement brands, treat brands, you name it. Because those questions have to be answered if you want to be in my store and be with the best of the best.
What about them letting you sell online? If they say you can sell my supplement in your store, but you can't sell it online, is that a deal breaker for you?
It would be a deal breaker if they weren't going to allow me to sell it on my own private e-commerce platform.
Yeah, that's
because that's ridiculous. That was actually a huge game changer for my store, because there are a lot of people who are like, oh, I love your store, but I don't live anywhere near you. Like, I now sell a lot more supplements that probably would have expired online because people see that I have them. Like, Animalia was a great one for me because nobody else stocks them. So selling them online has been awesome. So yeah, if they were like that, then I would be like, kiss off. But I can understand the not selling on third party like Amazon and stuff like that's understandable, and I'm fine with that. That is actually usually is a good thing to me, that they don't want me on those giant platforms, that they are more like small business centric. But if they just said no selling on your website, which I've never had anybody say, I would be like, oh, that doesn't make any sense, honestly.
All right. We're running a little long on time here. So I'm going to try to wrap it up. What are some resources that retailers could use to further their supplement education before your resource is available to us?
I would just say, like my staff does, take courses and stuff. You're going to get these tidbits through Dogs Naturally does have a decent herbalism course. Their homeopathy course is quite in depth. You're going to get a lot of knowledge from that. I think combining that with brand training, like Animal Essentials, Rainey will sit on the phone and chat with you for a couple hours and go through every single product where you can just ask questions and get the bullet points. So my resources are a mixture of the brands themselves and then objective training. And the combination of two works perfectly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And how can people connect with you?
Mostly through my store, pugandhound.com. We're in downtown Geneva, if you're in the Illinois area, but I do ship anything that's not frozen. All our info, all my contact info is on there. I also do nutritional consults, but I have consulted retailers that need help or just had a bunch of questions to ask me. So you can book a time to talk with me that way as well.
Awesome. We'll put a link in the show notes to your website and to Carly's
health journal
that's coming out.
Yeah. And I just use the regular old square calendar and have a bunch of weird little notes everywhere.
Now you can use a fancy journal, Krista. So I figure now that we've all taken the bachelor course in supplements, we're just waiting for the master course. This was amazing. I think we got a lot of great tips for retailers to look for to make sure that they are selling quality supplements, helping pet parents get where they need to get naturally. And thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge with us, Krista.
Yeah.
It's my pleasure.
And I've been so excited to interview you. So thank you. Thank you for taking the time out with the Pet Shop Girls.
I appreciate it. And I will just say this. I know everyone is a pet store owner. Most people who are listening to this are pet store owners. But when it comes to supplements, ease up on the salesiness. Just talk to your customers and let them decide. Because if you force it down their throat, you're going to get supplement returns. So.
Yeah. Yeah, fix the problems. Don't be the sales guy.
Just talk. None of my staff knows how to sell anything. They just know how to talk to people and help them choose stuff. So meet them where they're at.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That is it for this time, Pet Pros. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's it for this episode, Pet Pro.
Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe.
Just hit all the buttons.
So you never miss the podcast that makes you sit, stay, and beg for more.
The Pet Shop Girls.
Mine was the second. You were supposed to ask about the certification.
I know, and then I deviated.
Okay. All right, Sarah. All that goes. Okay.